Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz_radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz.
Welcome to it. It is Ohio State Week. Great to be with you on Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, the award winner is Colton Stone. People are loaded up. He is not the celebrity guest picker, but we've already got a shout out from Husker Chad in Kansas City. Ton of email to get to. Man, I can't wait. We've been waiting for this, well, since Boulder. Bet you've been waiting for this all season long. Let's talk about it. Nebraska v. Ohio State. We'll get into what the hell Saturday night was in Champaign. You can join us wherever you can hear us across the great state of Nebraska on the Hail Varsity Network, 466-3776, 466-3776, 800-825. 5865. Can email Chris at HaleVarsity.com. Can tweet at us or just check in and give us a follow on Twitter. Chris Schmidt at Schmidt_radio. At Two Birds, One Stone with Colton Stone. The newest black shirt, JoJo Doman, going to join us in about 20 minutes. Yeah? Colton's like 20 minutes. We'll happy medium that thing, about 15. About 15 minutes, JoJo Doman's going to be with us. 1 hour from now, Mr. Blackshirt Charlie McBride, Mondays with Charlie. And then 525, our favorite NFL offensive lineman that is on the mend, Jeremiah Searles. We'll get Searles' take on Illinois. We'll get Searles' take on Ohio State. Room for you today and the rest of the week. Reminder, and we'll get you qualified throughout the week for Nebraska-Ohio State tickets. We got a pair to give away to you on Friday down at the Graduate. Also, the longest drive competition. So we'll get you qualified for Ohio State-Nebraska tickets. And I can swing away with the longest drive competition as part of that here on Friday. In the rail yard on Saturday, 3:30 to 5:30. And then Real Red Reaction following Nebraska's, dare I say, upset. Can we go there? We got to talk about Saturday night first, because it directly affects how you feel about this Saturday, or does it? Last Saturday, you as a Nebraska football fan right now are feeling what about Ohio State? Are you, dear God, it's going to be another blowout on a national stage with game day there to see it? With the world there to watch, are you like, Nebraska will keep it close? They're just not ready yet for Ohio State. I'm more kind of leaning that way. Or are you like, screw it? If Riley can beat Michigan State, a playoff team, by the way, Nebraska can get it done Saturday night against a guy not named Urban and a guy not named Haskins or Zeke. Mm-hmm. Listen. It's going to be a tough, tall task for Nebraska. And I think, and it's very fair, mm-hmm. It's very fair to have Saturday night cloud your optimism for this Saturday. Because what were we thinking, Colton? What were we talking about all week?
Three touchdowns.
We were talking about three freaking touchdowns.
At least, yeah.
Right? Nebraska's going to win this thing. It might get a little hairy.
Early, maybe, yeah.
Early, or you get out late and you got to hang on because yeah. You did what? You took your foot off the gas?
Mm-hmm.
Instead, you blink and you're down 21-7.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a house full, and I didn't know about you, but there was lots of screaming at the TV. And there were some folks that had faith that Nebraska was going to handle it. I thought they were done. I was waiting for the offense to make a mistake.
Mm-hmm.
I was waiting for the defense to not get a stop. And honestly, I was waiting for Nebraska to turn the football over one more time. The final insult, right? You come all the way back, and you're about ready to punch it in. And thankfully, Wandale Robinson's a beast. Thankfully, he was go-to. And you see Coach Frost and his guys getting talented players better. They went to Wandale against Boulder. I don't want to say deer in the headlights, but he didn't play his best game. It was his first major rodeo on the road in college football. Wandale wasn't bad, but should have been better, could have been better against Colorado. What'd you see? You saw a true freshman that the world wanted. In his top five visits, as he told us today, were Alabama, Michigan, Nebraska, Kentucky. Somebody else was in there. But he chose Nebraska because they sent all 11 assistants down there. And clearly, they're going to use the guy. Mm-hmm. Not only can he make catches where you're talking 21 yards, turbo button after the catch to get the first touchdown, but he got the game winner, and he is a tough, tough dude running between the tackles. There's a lot of good to take out of Saturday night. There's a ton of bad.
Mm-hmm.
Or a ton of frustration you can take out of Saturday night because you don't know where this team's going to be. You don't know what this team's going to do. They're unpredictable. They're inconsistent. They're kind of a roller coaster. And that to me is more about this growing pain and lack of bodies than it is whether or not they're getting coached up or there's questions about the leadership and direction of the program. Mm-hmm. It's just still early, okay? And I looked at the schedule, and I'm like, you know, because of the quarterback coming back, the defense will make a progression. They'll be all right running the ball. Well, I mean, they're getting better. Mm-hmm. Wandale Robinson's proof of that. Adrian Martinez on third down this year at 72%, where he's got 8 touchdowns and no interceptions, is proof that they're all right. But you just haven't seen a clean football game. And I look at Nebraska and I go, what happened Saturday night? I don't know if they weren't focused. I don't know if Illinois is undersold, if Nebraska's just not that good, because they're supposed to go curb stomp Illinois on the road. And Illinois looked like a freaking NFL team smoking people the way they were hitting people. Now, Nebraska's tough. Under Riley, I think kids would have limped off the field and stayed off the field. You had kids coming back for more and really fight through it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's absolutely okay as a Nebraska fan to just maybe have one hand over your eyes or have one hand over both eyes and maybe kind of peek through because of what you saw Saturday night and what you're fearing. This Saturday night as Ohio State comes into town. They got ticked off. They got called out by their coach because they were down 5-0. Then they scored 75 unanswered points. Or was it 76?
76.
76-5.
And then they called the game because of a lightning delay, so it could have been 80.
They could have put an 80 spot up.
Yeah.
No, it's apples and oranges when it comes to talent and depth of talent between Ohio State and Nebraska. But Saturday night did a lot of things for me. It did not reassure me that Nebraska's ready for Ohio State, but it also told me that this Nebraska football team is in search of consistency. And with lack of consistency, don't rule out them playing up to their opponent.
Mm-hmm.
I just didn't know that they would struggle as much as they did against the Illini. And it was nip and tuck, and guys stepped up and made plays. But you're waiting for that final insult. That final insult being, let's put this thing away. Oops, we can't get into the end zone.
Mm-hmm.
I say we. Let's put a Nebraska hat on for a minute. Nebraska can't get into the end zone to make it a 14-point spread. Okay, let's kick a field goal. Penalty, number 11.
Mm-hmm.
Doink. And it's a 4-point game, football, Illinois 1st and 10. The saving grace is Illinois can't and didn't make plays. Nebraska made enough plays to win despite Nebraska trying to help Illinois out. It was disgusting to watch 11 penalties. It was disgusting to see 4 fumbles, mm-hmm. and the fumbles were they weren't really even careless. It was somebody just stealing your lunch money.
Yeah.
So turnovers and fumbles suck, but the way that they happened. Nebraska thought they were down, or they thought the play was done. Well, they didn't. They stopped before the whistle. Mm-hmm. So hopefully they learned from that. But man, Saturday night was ultra frustrating, and I don't blame you if you're going to still go. You're going to scream your head off. We'll get into game day and what it means and what's at stake for the program in a little bit. We'll hear from JoJo Doman. But it's okay to be a little bit skeptical because of what you saw Saturday. I'm going the other way, crazily. Not because that I think they're going to be mad and really ready to take it out on Ohio State because they played so bad against Illinois. I think they are so up and down that they could play out of their mind. Mm-hmm. They could play out of their mind and beat Ohio State with some help from Ohio State, but they could still go lose to Purdue.
Yeah, there's a couple of things going on based on Saturday. One, I think Illinois is a little better than we thought, but also, like, you look at their third down conversions, you look at
the yardage. I mean, it was incredible.
Yeah.
It's like Nebraska had money on Illinois. And I mean that as a joke. I'm not saying there's point shaving going on. I'm saying that's the amount of help.
Yeah.
It's like somebody took your test and got you into law school type of help.
And kind of through their first 4 games, not that it's happened too terribly often, but take away the turnovers that have happened or a good chunk of them, and a lot of points that the defense has given up is gone. But it's really hard for your defense to go right back out there and then, like, oh yeah, they only have 25 yards to go. Like,
it's a 35-13 game.
Yeah.
Boom.
Yeah, and that's the thing. So that's obviously got it figured out. But turnovers and penalties, eliminate those. And, I mean, we say that every week. I think that's a given. Illinois, I think, is a little better. And then, you know,
Peters is garbage.
Yeah, their defense was better than I think I expected.
The defense is good.
They still gave up 700
yards. That's a Lovie thing. But Peters had a cigarette and a blindfold, man. I mean, he was awful.
Pretty much.
He was awful. And Nebraska got really no pressure on him. Like, 2 mm-hmm. sacks is it. I think Illinois' O-line's a little undersold. Illinois should have kept running that damn football.
Yeah.
Right?
Corbin probably should have had 40 carries.
Corbin should have gone 52 carries for 400 yards. Eventually, Nebraska would have sent the house at him.
Yeah.
But Illinois just stopped running the ball.
So, it's true. I think just, like, based off that performance, and you know, we've talked about, too, the whole, you know, eventually, we've seen in past years at least, that Ohio State finds a way to go on the road to somebody and something goes awry.
Well, is that new? Or I should say, is that tradition continue? Or has it been wiped clean now that Urban is gone?
That's the question. Yeah.
We'll get into that here. We'll take your calls. Dial us up 466-377-6800-825-5865. And did last Saturday the escape from Champaign, does it cause you a little worry for Saturday night against Ohio State, or you not so much? I'll tell you this, what Saturday night was, and I was staring it down, you were staring it down, you were looking at it, and you were going, Nebraska's going to bleeping lose to Illinois just before they get a chance to right themselves and announce they're home, they're back. And that's clearly not the case in year 2. They can still beat Ohio State and not be back. They can still end up 8-4. This thing is this team's too up and down. They can get up, but you have a collapse like you did against Colorado. You have an outing like you did against Illinois. Man, the thing that they did, and we'll get to the phones here in a second, they were able to at least dig deep and find a way. Above all the self-harm and masochistic behavior, they found a way to win. And that isn't going to happen through the first six games a year ago, and certainly not the last three. Chris, let's squeeze you in. Thanks for jumping on, bud.
Hey, Schmitty. So don't beat yourself up too much over feeling that way about Saturday night, because there was probably a million other people sitting at home.
How much crown did you go through?
Not crown. The Bush lattes is mine. So, and then, but I don't believe I'm actually going to say this, but I'm actually in 100% agreement with you looking at OSU. I think that they come in, they lay a bit of a turd, and we play lights out and we steal one from them.
Yeah.
But then turn around the next weekend.
Sometime, probably, right? Sometime down the road, you just do something in your bed.
Yeah. Yeah. So, anyway, we got the win, right? That's the main thing, right? So we just need to be a little more positive. So
I'm positive that they won, and I think they made a lot of plays, but I'm absolutely shocked that they 11 penalties and four turnovers is game four. I didn't think I'd be seeing that.
You know what? So my takeaway was this: is that one, we were in shape. We obviously have a little bit of depth, mm-hmm. and we're really in shape. Illinois looked gassed, mm-hmm. but man, those dudes could hit. I mean, I give credit to Lovey. At least his guys came to play, and they were smacking us in the mouth. So mm-hmm. kudos to them. But
Chris, be good, brother. Appreciate you. Yeah, we'll see. That's the thing, man. Every time Nebraska's played Illinois, they've got some dudes that can hit. That's a weird ball game. Thoughts on the Buckeyes? You excited? Have you made your game day sign yet? We'll talk to JoJo Doman in a bit.
He's in his 30s, but sounds like he was born with a stogie in one hand and a brew in the other.
Now, say my name.
It's Schmitty on Hail Varsity Radio.
I got the body of a taut preteen Swedish boy.
Back with you on Monday, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery, Blackshirt McBride. Charlie McBride's coming up less than an hour. Jeremiah Searles will join us, get his take on Illinois and, of course, Ohio State. JoJo Doman, our sit-down with him, and just a bit more on game day and what happens on Saturday. Lots to get to. Busy week. I mean, Coach Chenander, Coach Walters, Nebraska, Coach Frost. I mean, and then we'll gear this thing up, man. It's a special, special weekend with College Game Day getting here. We're working on our own celebrity guest picker for Hail Varsity. Of course, Klausburn will be on hand with us at the Graduate on Friday for the Friday forecast. So lots to get to. JoJo Doman had a new piece of gear in his locker. JoJo finally getting awarded his black shirt today.
If you got a dream and you got the courage to pursue it, anything can happen. So just me earning my black shirt yesterday, I mean, it's been a process in the making over the past year and a half. So anything's possible. It was on my locker. I went to my laundry locker and I got my red jersey. I was like, yep, like nothing new. All right, so then I turned the corner to my regular locker, and there it was hanging. And I was like, nice. I was like, it's go time.
You know, I didn't ask JoJo about his black shirt because, for the love of God, he's been probably your best defender along with Cam Taylor Britt. So I thought, JoJo's got to have this thing after what he did. I mean, he played crazy against Colorado. I thought he played really well against Colorado. He played very well against Northern Illinois. And he's one of the few guys that made tackles. There's a lot of missed tackles against Illinois, you know, when they ran the football. Here's Scott Frost on JoJo Doman getting that black shirt.
JoJo probably deserved a black shirt before. We missed some training camp. Wasn't with his team for part of it, so it was appropriate to give it to him then. But his play on the field has certainly been deserving of a black shirt, and it was good to see him gut it out Saturday. He wasn't 100%, and he went out and played hard and played well anyway, so he deserved one.
Just a quick update here is Nebraska's tweeted out the College Game Day location. It looks like it's going to be east side of the stadium, which is nice. East side of the stadium. Stage will be facing the east side of the stadium. I think the backdrop will be you're looking at the bronze five Huskers chasing the poor little Wildcat ball carrier statue. Carson used to climb on that thing. In the event that he and my wife and I would go hang out together, he'd climb all over that thing like he's a freaking monkey. He doesn't remember it. We have incriminating photos of him. So there you have it. Location, location, location. It is going to be, okay, it is going to be in front of the Coliseum, it looks like. It's like I'm reading Indiana Jones's freaking map, The Well of Souls, where he's got, you know, where he's got the stick and the medallion with the crystal in the middle. He's got to wrap up, drop down, and find out where the ark's hidden. Yeah. So, yeah, the backdrop's going to be the east part of the stadium. It's going to be that horseshoe parking lot, kind of by the military, where I had military history class back circa 99. It's good. In front of the Coliseum, kind of catty corner from the practice, the soccer practice field and track.
Yeah, I remember Elijah and I were trying to figure that out when it first got floated as an idea, because it's you can't really you could do it in the stadium because it's a night game, but it'd kind of be a hassle to get them back out for the fans to go in.
So. At Schmidt underscore radio at Two Birds One Stone, we'll get these tweeted out for you where the location's going to be. Let's hear from JoJo Doman. First, a lunch update from JoJo, then we get into some football. A few minutes, Hail Varsity Radio. It is Ohio State Week. JoJo Doman's with us. What's wrapped up here? What's for lunch?
You know, chicken sandwich with some jalapeno cheddar on it, some chipotle sauce.
Look at you. A little fireball going.
Yep.
Well, good. Hey, take me into Champaign last Saturday and the start, the rebound, and then the close. Yeah. How was that roller coaster ride?
Yeah. I mean, we stayed pretty level-headed throughout the whole game. We allowed some big plays, some big runs on defense, but just getting back to what we do as a unit and what we stand for, getting to the rock, assignment, alignment, and run of the ball, we're going to make more plays than not. So just doing that on a consistent basis is going to help us eliminate those big-time plays that they had.
JoJo Doman, kind enough to sit down with us here, Hail Varsity Radio. How is the back and forth on that sideline with the team when, hey, sudden change time? What's your mentality?
Oh, yeah. Grab your helmet, run onto the field. Let's go. Let's stop them. We were put in some tough positions, but we got to keep them out of the end zone. That's our job as defenders. So just, you know, always having that that ready-to-play mentality no matter what circumstances you're put in, and just go out there and ball.
Was Saturday night something that was necessary? And what I mean by that is you had a chance offensively where the team was pushed and they had to respond, and defensively it was time to close out because they had still some breath left in them.
Yeah, I mean, we got to play a full game, and Frost told us that before the game and at halftime, that we got to put four quarters together. So the offense picking it up in the second half and the defense really being able to buckle down and not allow those big-time plays and force a turnover and then put them in 1-for-12 on third down. That's the style of football we want to play.
JoJo Doman with us, Hail Varsity Radio. What was Coach like at halftime? And you kind of touched on his message, but as far as just his leadership, what was it like at halftime for you guys?
Yeah, it was to keep going. You know, we put ourselves in the position that we were in at halftime. That first half wasn't our best half of football, but that was in the past. So he just challenged us to go out and play the best half of football that we could possibly play in the second half. And I don't know if we hit that mark, but we sure were closer to that than in the first half. So just being more consistent as a whole, offensively and defensively, to play our best football.
Where's this team at since Colorado, now looking into Ohio State? And you guys have done a good job of going one game at a time, but talk about the growth, your growth specifically. How much better of a player are you since even South Alabama? We're now at, you know, game four, game five.
Yeah, the game slows down as the season progresses, right? You get more confident with your calls, with the game plan each and every week, how you learn the game plan each and every week. So the first week is a little foreign, right? You haven't done this in a while, you're game planning. You got to remember it's still a game, right? You got an alignment, you got an assignment, but you still got to beat the guy across from you. So just as the season progresses, just kind of having that mentality, try to put yourself in the best position to make a play. And as a unit, as defensive unit, I think we're starting to get better at that.
Guess flying around. I mean, it's fast, and you're forcing turnovers. And I remember you were healthy, and you made a big time play a year ago against Ohio State, strip sack, flipped momentum. Gifford also knocked out a fumble, and that was such a back and forth game. What do you remember from the Ohio State game from a confidence standpoint? Because there's this aura, and this is, you know, sports radio and media, and Ohio State's like pretty high pedestal, and Nebraska's still trying to climb that direction.
Yeah.
What did last year show you?
That you can beat anybody on any given Saturday if you just, you know, give it everything that you got, right, as a collective whole. So last year we probably didn't have business, you know, winning that game if you're looking at it from an outsider's perspective, but we gave them our best shot, and it was a 5-point game, right? So this year, you know, if the belief in the locker room is that we're going to come out of this game with a W, and we play our best style of football, anything's possible.
That's interesting with, you know, your best style of football. Mm-hmm. There's been a lot of glimpses this year.
Mm-hmm.
So what does the best of Nebraska look like?
Yeah, that's a question for each individual on our team, right? Because there's 11 guys on the field at once that have an N on their helmet. And then individually coming together as a collective unit and being able to trust the guy to your left, being able to trust the guy to your right, and only focusing in on your job, making your play, not making the linebackers play, right? Not making the DBs play, making your play. And if everyone has that mentality, you're gonna have a lot of guys to the rock, you're gonna force a lot of turnovers, and you're gonna have success.
You talk about doing your job specifically. And is that hard? Because a lot of times if you try and do someone else's job, it's a situation where I don't think it's out of selfishness. You're just trying to help the team. But maybe if you don't do your job, then it's – or I should say if you try and do someone else's job, then you hurt the defense.
Yeah.
You have to catch yourself.
Yeah, the second you start getting out of your, you know, your box, right, and you start trying to help somebody else out, you're gonna start lacking in your own job, right? So I see the B gap open, but I'm supposed to be setting the edge, but I see the B gap open. Instead of trusting, you know, I gotta trust that, you know, that end's gonna shuck his guy and stay in the B gap, and then I gotta stay on my edge, right? Because then if he cuts it up, and I go in the B gap, and then he cuts it back out, and now we got two guys in the B gap and no one on the edge. Well, I thought I was helping somebody when I really was just hurting us. So that's a pretty good example that happened last week for me of how we just got to, you know, stay in your box, do your job, excel in your job, and trust everyone around you.
JoJo, thanks so much for a few minutes. Excitement, game day, Ohio State. How amped are you for Saturday?
Yeah, man, we're excited. We're looking forward to playing our best football on Saturday. So we just got to prepare this week and go do it.
Last thought, what's unique about Ohio State? What do you respect about their offense, their quarterback, their scheme?
Yeah, They got a good scheme, and they got some really good players. So those two things together, we're gonna have to be on the ball for four quarters every play. We can't take a play off. We can't take a play off on the first drive. We can't take a play off in the first drive of the second half either, right? We got to put four quarters together. Every series matters. Every play matters. If we get put in some tough situations, we got to stand up and keep them out of the end zone.
Best of luck, man. Thanks.
Thank you.
Chime in 402-466-ESPN or email the show, Chris at HaleVarsity.com.
Just try me. Try me.
Back to Hale Varsity Radio.
Back in Hale Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Colton Stone. Good stuff from JoJo Doman. Good to hear from him. We'll have Cam Taylor-Britt later this week. More from Scott Frost. And you have a situation where game day's here. That's a good thing. Scott Frost not backing down at all from all things associated with game day. And, you know, you've had past coaches kind of freak out, tighten up about game day. Frost is embracing. I love his attitude with this.
You know, our guys need to learn how to be comfortable in those situations. This is special. You know, regardless of how this game goes, we're going to play the best we can. I hope we can win. Regardless how this game goes, this is a special time for Nebraska. There's some big things coming this week. Game day hasn't been here in 10 or 12 years. This is a good opportunity to highlight our program, the direction the program's going, the improvement we've made, the path that we're on. It's going to be great to get some national attention in here in Lincoln. You know, if we weren't improving, getting better, and going in a really good direction that was obvious to a lot of people, we wouldn't have those guys on ESPN coming into town. So this is special. Our guys need to be able to operate and flourish amidst whatever distraction that brings along with it.
Are you going to be able to go make a play on a big stage? That's why you lift all them weights, put up with all that, to borrow a phrase from Bill Parcells. I mean, you don't go play college ball, so game day can come here. It's a perk. That's awesome. You know, that's part of it. And you can't have stage fright, man. You can get beat by someone who's better and more talented, but it isn't going to be for lack of effort or because you're scared. Mm-hmm. You're not going to see a situation like 2 years ago where you had half the team looking to turn around and go back and hide behind the gate so they didn't have to come out and take on Ohio State. That's what it is.
Did you
go to game day as a kid for SC?
I went to the game. I did not go to the physical game day. I did see Lee Corso, though, so I guess that's cool. I don't know. I'm still like I get why game day's here because you look at the rest of the slate of games. They got a lot of help from Utah and USC on Friday night. I don't know if you caught any of the Wazoo game, but that was nuts.
That was nuts. I mean, I stayed up for that whole thing.
Yeah.
Fell asleep in my chair.
No, woke up and it's still going.
I fell asleep. I didn't pass out. I fell asleep in my chair, and it was okay. The Pirate was up 49-17.
Yeah.
Rule number two, don't call the Pirate on a loss week. Okay? And I've learned that. I won't. We haven't. We'll talk to the Pirate in a couple of weeks. But, yeah, it was 49-17, yeah. And then it turned into, what the hell, 67-63. I'm playing my brother in Madden again.
So obviously that happened. So I get the state. I think I and probably other people are still like remembering the bad Ohio State games and are
there's
are
only
worried.
Been one good one. Well, there's been two good ones. There was last year and then
last year was good in the loss
and then Rex's game.
Right. So I think people, a lot of people, and I know we talked about it earlier, that you look at Saturday and you're just worried that if one thing goes wrong, like offensively or defensively, the difference is Ohio State will capitalize a lot easier than
they
Illinois
will
did.
Kill you.
Yes.
Right. And Nebraska has not gotten out of its own way this season. Can they miraculously all of a sudden play great, clean, crisp football? Listen, you've seen them play their worst.
Mm-hmm.
You saw it in the second half against Colorado. You saw it in some overtime. You saw it Saturday night. You've seen them play bad football.
Mm-hmm.
You've seen them play some good football. It's not, are they capable of playing good football? Yeah. Are they capable of playing four quarters of good football? And I think if you, to a person, if you ask Nebraska fans that, you want to say yes, but you don't know if it's true. Mm-hmm. And they're just a growing program right now. Listen, my expectations for Nebraska and Scott Frost, 8, 9, 10 wins was something that you could look on the schedule and on paper, listen, this is what you should do. But the reality is you don't just clap your hands like Mr. Miyagi and all of a sudden have a veteran great mm-hmm. offensive line. You just don't all of a sudden clap your hands and get a quarterback. And I that was interesting as well with what Frost had to say about the whispers. I thought his post-game Illinois press conference was a little bit of a, screw you for doubting Adrian and some of my play calling. And that's fine. That's fine. But Adrian was different. When push came to shove, he stepped up. When push came to shove, he led. When push came to shove, he made plays with his arms and with his legs. Mm-hmm. He was flawless. He was fantastic. But I guess the question is what's taken so long? And I think it's just a fact of life. Teams are keying on him, and you've got to have other people like Wandale be an option to step up and help out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a lot of it is, obviously, like we said, every week a defense is going to come out or the defensive coordinators are going to come out and scheme for Adrian Martinez. Mm-hmm. And, so far they faced a lot of defensive lines that have been playing – together longer than this offensive line has been playing together. A whole other thing, too, is I think the comfortability between Juergens and Martinez.
Better, but it was still off a little bit on Saturday.
Yeah, and that's another thing that's just growing. I know that Frost said he can be an award-winning type center, but he's not going to be Dave Remington overnight either.
It's a learning curve.
Right, it's just figuring that out. And you can't make sure guys stay healthy. Things like that happen, and it's just a matter of, someone's got to step up, and if it's Adrian, if it's Wandale, if it's Dedrick Mills, whoever it is, it's got to be somebody, and that's what happened on Saturday.
We were talking about Coach Frost post-game, and here's Pat Fitzgerald today. This is great, because Fitz was kind of questioned about his game plan and play calling, because Sparty went nuts on Northwestern, and they're really struggling again in the month of September. And here's what Fitz had to say about his play calling, what they do.
Well, we just take 90 hours and play Wii and golf all week. What do you think? Yeah, I go into every game plan expecting it to work, to be quite honest with you. I understand there's 40,000 experts on Twitter that can call plays for me, so my email address is #IDon'tCare. Okay, so shoot that out.
More from Pat Fitzgerald, and he kind of hates his team right now.
3 weeks in, I'm starting to get to know some of these guys a little bit better, and I don't like their attitude, so guess who's going to fix it? Good old Under Armour size 12. So anybody like to come along with me, come on, we'll work out tomorrow, we'll get after it. So that's the only way I know how to do it, guys. That's the only way I know how to do it. So, and it's worked in the past, and it'll always work, but you have to embrace it.
See this foot? It's going right there. Good old Fitz. Hour one, winding down. Your chance at Nebraska, Ohio State tickets, longest drive. We'll tell you how next.
And now,
back to Hail Varsity Radio.
10 minutes away, Blackshirt McBride, Jeremiah Searles, the NFL weekend, and your thoughts on Ohio State and Nebraska. You doing a game day sign? How are you going to raise money? Will you donate to charity? Celebrity picker. Is that a thing? Because, you have, the obvious 8 candidates.
Mm-hmm.
I have one in my back pocket that I'm trying to confirm. And I don't know if he'll be a guest picker or if he's even come into the game.
Mm-hmm.
But if it happens, it'll be sweet.
I'm trying to think. There's so many.
A guy whose personality's as good or better than his sport of choice.
There's so many people that could be the actual guest picker, depending on where they go. I mean,
don't you let Grandpa Warren just throw a Nebraska lid on and say, yeah, I'm buying ESPN tomorrow. Put me on.
I'd personally like to see Bud Crawford, because I think that's Bud's kind
awesome.
That's kind of not like an unheard of pick, but it's like I'd rather it be someone from Nebraska than someone that's like kind of has ties to Nebraska.
Right. Well, I mean, so you've got Jack Hoffman.
Uh-huh.
You have Bud, the champ, by the way.
Yeah.
Then you got Warren.
You could go Larry the Cable Guy.
And you got Larry. Larry's awesome. Good dude.
So that would, I mean, in no particular order, that'd probably be.
There's your four.
Yeah.
Now, like from a splash standpoint, Gabrielle and Dwayne.
Yeah. Which I wouldn't be upset about, but.
I know, but see, here's the thing. I think Dwayne's afraid to come to Lincoln. Probably because of you. I've been stalking him since you were seven.
Yeah, they might not let me on the set of Game Day if that's the case.
They've got pics. They're passing pictures of you out to Game Day security. Well, it's Colton Stone again. He's got the Miami Vice Heat jersey. He just wants a signature and a pic, Dwayne. I mean, you're like the
guy.
Is that
so much to ask for?
No, it's not. But once he's told you no. We're going to talk with Mitch Sherman about this tomorrow, but it's funny. Like, famous people. You ever, like, bumped into somebody in the can?
Peed
next to somebody famous?
I have not. No.
Okay. Mitch has got a great story about peeing next to somebody very famous. And my claim to fame of, like, the most famous person I've peed next to is the Tark, Jerry Tarkanian, 100 years ago. This is actually the night game against Fresno State with Carr.
Mm.
Remember that game?
Yeah.
Where Amir had to return it and kind of turn momentum?
I think the closest I got was, I don't know if it was the spring game or if it was a game last year, but Verduzco just bolted out of like the coordinator's or assistant's like booth.
He like
and just
Super Mario
it.
Just sprinted by you.
Yeah, he just like hauled down to the restroom.
Is this a spring game?
I don't know if it's spring game.
I don't think he's in the box. Actually, he might. Yeah, he's in the box.
So he was up there and like.
No, he's not. I don't think he's in the box.
He was up there for whatever reason. Right. It was during a game and or spring game, and he just ran by and a security like officer's holding the like restroom door up for him, and he just like runs in and runs back out. I was like, well, that's kind of
wow
odd, but all
that's,
right.
That means like a police escort to go to the John. It's impressive. Tarkanian did not have his towel in his mouth while he was peeing. Coach McBride's next to Hail Varsity, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz_radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz.
Hour 2, Ohio State Week, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Colton Stone, it is that time. It's Mondays with Charlie, Mr. Blackshirt. Charlie McBride. Coach, how you doing?
Good. Get blown away.
Windy and rainy or what?
No. It's beautiful outside. Just a little chilly, but it's beautiful. Good weather.
Well, it's fall now, and you got to be smiling about that.
Yeah, I am doing that.
What'd you think of Saturday? I envision you on the edge of your couch, and I'll just leave it at that. You can fill in the rest of the blanks. What'd you think of? How'd you take Saturday?
I had mixed emotions about the game, and I'm sure they did too. I think you saw some things that are really positive, and I think you saw some of the young people start to project. I think those were the good things. I don't think that they know how to focus. A lot of penalties and that is from just you have to think about those things before you play. You can't just go out and play. You have to talk to yourself. You have to, all week, you have to focus on what the right things are to do and really work at it. Every play is a new play. And each time when somebody lets up, there's either a mistake made or, you know, something critical happens. And a lot of times, you know, it's the same thing with tackling. You have to break down. You have to focus on what you're doing. Well, you know, a lot of times kids, you know, it takes a while. They don't have to kill the guy. You know, they don't have to come in and start flying around and missing tackles. They got to just go make the tackle. They just got to go break down and let the back make his move and then go get it. And it's, you know, a lot of times you see some of that stuff and guys are flying around. And I mean, you see it in the NFL. I mean, you see it all over the place. But it's a matter of every play, you know, thinking about what you're going to do. I think, you know, a lot of times, you know, you do it when you're studying. You take a break, you think about, you see yourself doing things correctly. You know, and I mean, you know, it's, I guess, kind of a mental visualization type of thing where you have to see yourself and feel yourself doing those things. But that's like practicing. You know, the whole thing I used to tell my players, you're going to get to a point where you're going to play a blocking scheme and you're going to come to me and say, you know, I didn't even know I did that. It's in your subconscious. You just do it. It's not like, oh, I hear the guards pulling, I do this and I do that. You just got to go. And you know, and the things that I see, you know, that are all fundamental, most of the things are, you know, a lot of times I think defensive linemen don't get good separation. I mean, that's the whole key to being able to escape, to make, you know, play blocks, to get off of blocks. And sometimes it's hard. Sometimes they're playing two gaps, and that's the hardest thing in football for a defensive lineman to do. And, you know, because it ends up sometimes you and the linebacker are in the same gap and the guy's running down the field. Mm-hmm. So, you know, those things are, you know, things that just you have to live with. But you have to be able to, you know, do it when it happens and do the best you can. And by separation, I mean, get yourself locked out. Don't get, you know, just don't smash against each other because you can't get off of it. And especially those linemen with their hands inside like that, you know, they're just going to grab your shirt from the beginning. Mm-hmm. So now you got to know how to escape that stuff. And, you know, it takes some time.
Charlie McBride's with us, Hale Varsity Radio, Mondays with Charlie. Coach, when you talk about focusing, does that just come with experience? Is that all just part of more time under Coach Frost? I mean, with the fan base and a game like Illinois, and a lot of these guys, man, they hit. They were physical. They were tough. They were gassed. I mean, Nebraska made a lot of plays. Illinois didn't. Nebraska helped out a lot with fumbles and with fumbles on the wrong side of the 50. And then also with the 11 penalties. Is that just a maturity thing? Because,
well, you know, here it goes a bunch of different ways. Some kids, I can see Mills. Let's just use him as an example.
Uh-huh.
He's trying to do everything he can to show that he can be the best, you know, be a really good player.
Uh-huh.
And sometimes you lose concentration of what you're really doing, and you just try so hard, you overdo it, and then you forget you got the ball in your hand.
Gotcha.
I mean, it's almost like, you know, oh, my God, I forgot the ball, you know. Mm-hmm. You know, you just get used to it. I mean, every play, you know, is different. And I think you have to do it during the week. You have to concentrate on what you want to do during the week. You can't just say, okay, it's Friday, I got to start thinking about not fumbling, or I'm going to, you know, I got to start thinking about tackling, or I got to start thinking about bringing my feet with me. The one thing I can tell you right now, and you can look at it, it's what everybody can see, whether you're playing on the offensive line, whether you're playing on the defensive line, whether you're tackling, whatever you do, you never stop your feet on contact. So when you see a lineman go and his feet stop, basically he's beat. And a lot of times, you know, sometimes they just kind of push and shove. They got to move their feet, and that just doesn't mean they got to move them.
Yeah.
I mean, like Pistons, they got to get them going. I mean, they got to put people on their back and stuff like that. And, you know, I sit there and say, well, maybe some of these guys are too big. And then I turn around and I look at Wisconsin's roster, for example.
Yeah.
They got linemen that are, 325, 330 pounds, 6'5", 6'6". And if you watch them, they can move people. And, and you watch them, their feet never stop. I mean, they're well coached, and they think about that during the week. You know, I always used to say this, if you're studying, put your book down sometime and just sit there and visualize yourself doing what you have to do fundamentally. If you're supposed to step with this foot, step with it. Or your hand placement. See yourself doing it. That's like practicing.
Yeah.
You see, I mean, it's another field of practice. And then you find out, you get out there, and it's getting easier and easier and easier every day. You can't expect these people, these young people, to be, All-Americans in 2 days or 2 weeks or whatever, three games or four games, and it just doesn't happen. And that's why I say for them, you've got to really think about, what you're doing. You have to really think about mistakes. You got to concentrate that you're not offside or that you're looking at the football. I mean, there's no excuse for a guy when they're having a kicking game for a lineman to be in motion or illegal procedure. I mean, to me, that's day one of somebody that's not even thinking.
It's attention to detail and focus, like you said, right?
Right. I mean, you're talking about every time you make a mistake, you're putting your team in a hole.
Yeah.
I mean, and everybody wants to do the right thing. Well, then do the right thing and think about what you're supposed to be doing.
Coach,
you're a lineman standing next to the center. You sure can see where the ball is, can't you?
Yeah, I'd think so.
And our defensive ends used to key off the ball sometimes. You know, especially the split end guys with no tight end on them. It's a lot easier, to be able to, with your peripheral vision, to see when the ball goes. But, you can't just make those mistakes over and over and over again. And that's what's frustrating. Mm-hmm. You know, you take all that stuff away. Man, it was a good game, right?
Well, there was a lot of bad. There was some good, and
that's right.
I want to ask you about, they finished off, right? I mean, the defense got the stop, the offense came back to take the lead after being down by 14. So they did some good things to come back,
okay,
and win that game. But they put themselves behind that eight ball. What do you think about?
That's exactly what you're saying. I'm telling you right now.
Yeah.
Every series is a stop.
Yeah, I gotcha.
It's not, we got to do it now. I mean, wonderful. You're thinking about it now? Why didn't you do it at the beginning of the game? We wouldn't be in this position.
Sure.
You know, it's something you have to do, and that's the discipline and the focus of the game.
Yeah.
You know, all of a sudden, I know the fans are the same. They start clapping and screaming and yelling and everything. Sure, that helps.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's no question about that. But the idea of the thing is you got to do it. Every play is the same as if it's the last play of the game. I mean,
it always matters, right?
Right. And that's why I say some kids can be better than they really are. And they don't know that unless they start thinking about every play, that what their job is to do on every play. And, you know, you hear the same thing from everybody now is all saying it, do your job.
Mm-hmm.
And from that point on, you know, if you do your job and everybody does it, you got a chance. Unless you're just the people are better than you.
Right. Well, let's talk Saturday night. What's got to happen Saturday night for Nebraska to pull this off. You got ESPN, you got game day, you have a spotlight for the program. Las Vegas, you know, is saying Ohio State almost by 18. Nebraska, from a pressure standpoint, I mean, Ohio State's got the pressure as far as they're supposed to win the ball game, but it could be a magic moment for Nebraska. It just doesn't feel like they're ready, though.
Well, that's hard to say, too. You know, I think you can put yourself, you know, when you look at them last year, they didn't do too bad at Ohio State.
I mean, great.
In general, you know, and that, these guys put their helmets on the same way everybody else does. I mean, it's, they're just, they're not, if they're sitting there and they're getting you, you know, oh, these guys are too good, or thinking in a negative vein, you can't win, you're going to lose. You're just going to say, well, here it goes. You know, that's the way it is. But the thing is you got to just try the best you can. You got to try to do things that, you know, I mean, guys trying to, you know, knock a ball down. I've seen guys do it. Yeah. Just dive for it as hard as they can, and they get it with the tip of their finger and knock it down. You know what I'm getting at? I mean,
sure.
Unless you really do it and get and have it, that you see yourself doing something like that. You know, and I can kind of. Some guys do it without ever being told. Some guys, that's why they're good.
Right.
They know that. That somehow they just know that they have to focus on every play. I think that, you know, there's a kid out there a little bit at times. You wonder that he may be one of them. Is Doman?
Yeah, we just talked to him.
You know, and that, yeah, I had guys on that I coached that I know that. You know, they were that way. You know, they just, you know, they didn't need to do all this other stuff. But I think, you know, I really encourage my players to think about what they're doing off the field, whether it be, you know, technique, tackling. Those are the things you want to really concentrate on. That's your job. That's where it starts.
Coach, got about
a... And then you got to find out what's inside of you. When the ball snapped, are you going to go get it, or is it going to wait for somebody else to do it?
Because
there's so many things you can do when you get, if you try, you say, oh, I don't know if I can get there, so I'm just going to puff over there. Well, what about a fumble, and what about blocking for a guy that picks up a fumble, or what about an interception? And are you going to block for him, or just stand there, you know, and act like a telephone pole? You know, I mean... So yeah, the game is a lot more, and some of these guys still don't understand a lot of that.
Yeah.
You know, and especially big guys.
Yeah.
You know, and the other thing is, am I in shape?
That's a good point.
We used to run. Our guys used to run. I mean, they were laughing. I mean, almost down at when we beat Miami down there, and they got. Sapp and all these guys kneeling between plays with their helmets off. They were so tired. They couldn't move. Our guys are giggling. I mean, they're in such good shape, they just could play like that all day. And that's, you know, that's a factor. So, you know, there's a lot of things that come during the year that you have to keep working on to get better and better, and it's the physical thing, it's the mental thing. And, you know, those are the things that they're lacking right now. Just everybody getting on the same page and doing the same, you know, doing the right thing, doing their job, and doing it the best they can do it. That's all you can ask.
Charlie.
And if you lose and you did everything right, you got beat by a better team, you got nothing to be ashamed of.
We'll see how it shakes out Saturday night. Coach. Can't wait for it on Saturday. Thanks for a few minutes today.
That'll be another one. Yeah, it'll be, you know, it'll be fine. I mean, you're gonna probably see some of these kids grow up overnight. I mean, during that game, and if they can play, they can win.
Yeah, I think you're right.
You know,
Coach,
so,
we'll talk on Monday. Thank you so much.
Okay. Yep. Bye now.
There he is. Coach is fired up. Gotta love it. Jeremiah Searle's next.
And we're back.
Fellas, you think we could listen to the radio?
On Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Yes! That's awesome!
Back with you. Coach McBride was fired up. Get that podcast loaded up. Check us out, ESPNLincoln.com. The full podcast on Hail Varsity or iTunes. Speaking of podcasts, Just My Opinion is the name of the show. You'll tune into it 6 tonight on Jeremiah Searle's Twitch channel. We welcome in our favorite NFL offensive lineman at Searle71_HSKR. It's where you follow Jeremiah on Twitter. And you can catch the Twitch show at 6. Searles, you got that camera cleaned off? Did you spill any booze on it on Saturday night? How are you?
I'm doing well. How about yourself?
I'm all right, man. I'm just wondering about Saturday night. Are you over? Like, have you walked around and cooled off?
I have. I was pretty fired up, I'm not going to lie.
It's all right. It's all right.
I had a few pops in me. We went out and went to a Husker bar here in Minnesota and enjoyed what we could of the game as I screamed at the projector screen in front of everyone and scared some children, but that's all right. But yeah, man, it was a great game. I'm excited to that we won, obviously, but I'm excited to break it down tonight at 6. But yeah, man, I couldn't wait for that game to be over because I don't think my heart could take it anymore.
Jay, is this the first of many this year? I mean, you've already had the Colorado, whatever you want to call that. Now you go to Illinois and you escape because they can't make plays and you made more plays. Now here comes right. Ohio State. Are you clouded about Saturday night because of what happened last weekend?
I'm concerned. I would say I'm excited because we showed that we can win those games. But again, we cannot make the mistakes that we made in that game and expect to beat teams in the caliber of Ohio State. I mean, I had multiple of my buddies text me going, what is going on? Nebraska is obviously the better team here. Mm-hmm. And we were. I mean, we had 700 total yards of offense. We had, I mean, over 300 yards rushing. I mean, just absurd things that were just like, we should be running away with this game. But when you hand the teams like Illinois gift inside your own 15-yard line, it's going to convert to points. And if you do that against teams like Ohio State, Wisconsin, Iowa, they're going to really make you pay for it because they're going to have the talent level to bury you. And so as I watch that game, I'm going, we might get ran out of our own stadium next week if we play like this. But then as you watch how they progress and play in the fourth quarter, you're like, we can beat Ohio State if we play like this. I mean, it really is just like Jekyll and Hyde with this offense. And it's so frustrating because you just know the capability and the power that they can be. And when they don't do that, it's just so frustrating.
Why are they, when they do falter, why are they faltering? And let's focus on the penalties, and not all 11 were on the offense, but your perspectives, the offensive line, give me where you think they're at through these 4 weeks. They're 3-1. And are they going to be able to take another step? Did you see another step against Illinois? I mean, they ran for 363 yards.
Right. I mean, I think that our two tackles played very well, minus the one play on Farniak that turned into the fumble, which was
not a fumble.
Crap call, in my opinion. But other than that, I thought those two guys played very well. Those were two good edge rushers for Illinois. I mean, what's his name? I can't pronounce his name. He has six sacks on the year.
Woolley.
And Hymus pretty much made him non-existent. I mean, Hymus came out and played very, very well. I saw it, especially being hurt the week before. I think Juergens' snap issue raised its ugly head again, and that's going to continue to be an issue as long as he lets it be. And I think a lot of people were so used to seeing them be better that as they were getting the snaps were getting worse, we saw, oh, we're going to start blaming Adrian. I mean, I tweeted out at halftime, like, give me your thoughts, vent session, and everyone was bench Adrian. Adrian's not doing anything, da-da-da. And as I went back and rewatched the game, the snaps were all over the place again, which put his eyes in bad spots. And I think that that's something that we got to continue just to get fixed. I think that Hixon and Wilson are continuing to get better. Wilson's being more consistency. Hixon's getting better every week, which you want to see from a young kid. But, man, you get Juergens out in space. He's special. You can see how athletic he is. He can do a lot of things for this offense. But we're still waiting to get all five of those guys gelled together, working together. They've gotten better every single week. But this week is the true test. You got a guy, Chase Young, coming in. He's got seven sacks on the year, who's going to be a problem if we let him be. He's what we call a game wrecker. If you let him, he will wreck the game. And so we have to make sure we take care of him, know where he's at all times. and we have to control the offense. We have to keep their offense off the field. And that comes on our offense of not going three and outs, putting good drives together, and giving our defense a chance to catch their breath, because these guys are going to score, right? And there's no way around that. They're going to score. But our offensive line has to be able to control the game time and possession-wise to give our defense a chance.
Jeremiah Searles with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Just my opinion, and is his show that gets going in 30 minutes on his Twitch channel. Can follow him on Twitter at Searles71 underscore HSKR, and can subscribe to that Twitch channel through his Twitter posting and spot on Twitter there. You can find it, and it's Searles, is this free?
It is, absolutely. It's free. It's just like down. The hard part is you got to download another app, I know, but Twitch is a great platform to do a free live show on, because it allows me to interact with you in real time, allows you to come in, ask questions, see what you wanted to ask me live. You don't have to wait about me to respond to a tweet. You don't have to wait if it's a mailbag. You are asking a question live, and I'm here to answer it and have a conversation for you. So you download Twitch, make an account for free, you search JSearles71, you'll see my ugly mug pop up there. Click on it, hit the follow button, and come join me tonight, 6 to 7, as we break down this game. And I give my third of the way through the season grades, and I preview a little bit for what we can look for Ohio State.
What do you think from Adrian? You've heard the whispers. You touched on it with the snap issues, and you also saw him turn it on in the fourth quarter. You saw him turn it on third down. Most of the year, he's over 70% on third down throwing the ball. He was special. But it looked like a different guy in the second half. Why do you think that was?
I don't know. And that's the part that I'm struggling to get a grasp on as I go and watch it. It doesn't look like the play calls are changing. It doesn't look like Scott's doing anything different. It just looks like he turns a switch or flips something in his mind that just allows him to be confident. And I don't know what that is for him. But, man, he is special when he is on. I mean, those two runs that he had in the fourth quarter, the 25-yarder and then the 44-yarder there at the end, that just shows you how decisive he can be with his hand in the ball. And I think if I had to put my finger on one thing, that's it. Decisiveness with his hands on the ball, whether it's throwing or running, getting the ball out quick to his first read. If it's not there, tuck it and go. If he's running, instead of getting east-west, trying to get everyone beat to the sideline, get north-south, be the big back that you are. You're a running back playing quarterback, dude. Get your foot in the ground and head north and south. So I think that's really, we saw him more snap, quick decisions, which led to more positive plays. And then the other thing is, I think he needs to just make sure that he holds on to the ball. If you cough up the ball as a player, it starts to shake your confidence a little bit. And that can bleed over into other things. It bleeds over into how he runs the ball, bleeds over how he passes the ball. The more he can hold on to the ball and get more confident with his ball security, the more confident he will be as a player.
You played with Taylor, and Taylor had turnover issues.
Yep.
And is that just – those guys never get hit in practice because you don't want to get them hurt in practice. You want them for game day. Is that an issue, not being live?
I don't think it is, because as a quarterback, you can't risk hurting your quarterback in practice.
I understand that, but I'm saying the live hits – come Saturdays are way different than Monday through Thursday.
Absolutely, they are. And he's still a young player. He will get better with that as time goes on. But that becomes learning how to be a superstar. And you have to learn how to do that. You have to learn how to, okay, this is what it's like on game day, but you practice the habits during the week. You can't get sloppy in your habits during the week because you're not getting hit. And I think that's what can happen a lot of times. You can fall into this false sense of security and practice of, oh, I'm going to run and I don't have to run and tuck this ball because this linebacker is not going to smack me. And you have to practice like that. You have to practice like, okay, I'm going to visualize. I'm going to act like I'm getting hit. I'm going to tuck the ball. I'm going to two hands through contact. I'm going to dip my shoulder, and that running back's going to run by me and tap me on the butt in practice. But those are habits that you form during the week that then have to carry over to game day versus, oh, I know I can't get hit, so I'm just going to run by and act like this guy didn't tackle me. And you just have the ball out there like a loaf of bread versus tuck it, push it in. And I think that's what Adrian needs to do, is make sure during the week he's really focusing on the fundamentals and the technique parts of ball security.
Searles, before we get you out of here, Jeremiah Searles with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Listen to his show, Just My Opinion, on Twitch tonight. Can log on off of Twitter, Searle's handle at Searle71_HSKR. Your thoughts? I got about 2 minutes. Game day in Lincoln. What's it mean to you? Two, how does Nebraska pull this off Saturday?
I think game day in Lincoln's incredible. I'm super excited. I was never a part of one in Lincoln. I got to go to Wisconsin, to Ohio State when game day was there. But to have one in Lincoln, I mean, that place is going to be absolutely electric. I can't wait to see the atmosphere. I'll be down there bright and early just to roam around and see what's going on. But I think that it's going to do one of two things. It has the opportunity to help build the Husker brand and show us that we're back nationally, or it can hurt us if we go out there and lay an egg like we've done in previous games. I think in order to pull this off, we have to give ourselves a chance to win by playing the cleanest game we have under the Frost era, penalties, turnovers, and play smart. Give ourselves a chance to win at the end. That's what's going to come down to. Keep it close in the fourth quarter. Let our defense make a big play, or let Adrian and that offense come out and get a big score at the end. And I think that's really the only way we're going to keep this thing in hand. We can't let it spiral out of control early on.
I'm torn. Like, this team's been so unpredictable that I could see them surprising everybody and playing out of their mind. Like, you know, where the hell's this been all year? But I could also see them just getting out talented, and it's not going to be as close as it was last year. But you got a different Ohio State team this year, Searles.
Oh, dude, Justin Fields is a problem. He's a problem. There's no other way to discuss it besides that fact. I was looking up some of his stats here as I was talking about getting ready for my show, and I mean, this dude is...
He can run. Just, he can throw.
He's got 880 yards, 13 touchdowns in the air, 150 yards, 6 touchdowns on the ground. I mean, that's video game stats. Mm. And so, I mean, we got to find a way to get to him in the pass game and then control him in the... I mean, he's going to make plays. We just have to make sure he doesn't make too many plays. I mean, that's really the only way. Like I said about the kid from Colorado, you can only hope to contain him.
Mm. Well, we'll talk to you Saturday as part of the weekend edition pregame, 3:30 to 5:30 in the rail yard. And just my opinion, Jeremiah Searle's show at 6 on Twitch. Searles, real quick, the handle one more time, bud.
Yep, twitch.tv/jsearle71, or you can follow me on my socials. I'll tweet out the link here in about 20 minutes, and we'll go live.
Searles, you're awesome, brother. Thanks for the time.
Absolutely. Go Big Red.
See you, bud.
And now,
back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Back to you, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Colton Stone. Good stuff from Jeremiah Searles. Coach McBride, part of the Mondays with Charlie. JoJo Doman was with us at 4:25. Reminder about your friends at West Blue Realty. Give Tom Luby and Kelly Hoffschneider a shout. Are you moving this football season? West Blue Realty can help. They specialize in residential home sales in Lincoln and surrounding communities, and they'll help make that next move a smooth one for a limited time. You mentioned Hail Varsity. West Blue Realty can provide up to $1,000 upon the closing of your next home purchase. Tom Luby's phone number, 402-540-3768, or Kelly Hoffschneider, 402-202-2312. It pays to work with West Blue. WestBlueRealty.com. Stop by and see Tom or Kelly at 1120 K Street, Suite 200 in Lincoln. 466-3776. 466-3776. 800-825-5865. Can email Chris at HaleVarsity.com. Can find us on Twitter at Schmidt_radio. Chris Schmidt, that's me. Colton Stone, two birds, one stone. So, got an email from Scott. Scott would love the call, but can't do it. And he says, Chris, love the show, but calling is not usually convenient. A couple of questions and comments regarding the Nebraska-Illinois football game, which he attended. Bless your heart, Scott from Donovan. So, until Saturday night, our defensive line has been very impressive, including trailing plays downfield. But they seem to disappear in this game. Not sure what happened. I like Dedrick Mills, but his fumbling's a huge concern. Will his playing time be limited? Dedrick showed up and on part of that media scrum earlier today where he's going like it's the movie The Program, where he's walking around campus all week with a football. and he's got to carry the football all week.
Get some duct tape.
And it's self-imposed.
Yeah.
Like, he didn't.
No one told him to do it.
No one told him to do it.
Right.
Although Doman did try and knock it out from behind. Thirdly, from Scott, very disappointed with the first and goal, 1 yard line, quarterback sneak wasn't used. It is almost a certainty that Martinez could get from his spot, but Frost seemed a little conservative with the play calling, especially on first down, reminiscent of Colorado. I assume that the quarterback sneaks in the playbook, but very confused about the play calling when a touchdown would have clinched the game. That's a fair question, and Scott Frost talked about it after the game with his first and second down.
Mm-hmm.
You've been going well up the middle, and you tried going wide, and you lost 7 yards or so on that first and goal.
Mm-hmm.
And then Wandale got stopped short, you missed a field goal, and it got more stressful than it needed to be.
Yeah, I think the sneak there is probably more of a health thing than a conservative play
call.
Well,
and the other part of it too, man, is you don't take center snaps that often.
Right. You're not under center too terribly often. I know they ran 98 plays, so probably a little higher percentage than normal. But, yeah, most of the time you're not going to be under the center anyways. I mean, maybe a QB draw, but it's kind of, you know, you're waiting for a spot to be there. I'm okay with an outside play call on first down. It's different if it's like second or third because they lost too many yards, I guess is the point. But you're okay if you lose a yard or two. You've got two plays to make it back up. It's another when you're from the 1 to the 8 or 9.
I thought the power run game, I know Mo got dinged and was out of the game.
Mm-hmm. Which hurt.
It did, but I thought the way Mills, or I should say the way that Wandale and Mills 1-2 punched it up the gut,
mm-hmm.
I thought Nebraska running between the tackles was phenomenal. I mean, I thought it was, you know, sight for sore eyes if you're a Nebraska fan. That's how they took over and won.
Mm-hmm.
And then using Martinez's legs. When push came to shove, they ran to win in the fourth quarter. And it's been a long time since you've seen that. Coach McBride, though, was right on about, you know, the focus. Last part here from Scott and his email. And, Scott, thanks for listening. Appreciate you making the trip to Illinois and checking us out on Hail Varsity every day. Lastly, the sideline officials switch sides after halftime. I've never seen this before. Wondering if this is common in college football. It didn't appear Frost was very enamored with the sideline officials in the first half. But I'm not aware of a coach can request the official being replaced with the ones on the opposing side. Thanks for the great show. Always look forward to listening every day. Scott, God love you. I don't know. I just know that you had homeboy that was the crew chief that was eating the microphone.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to throw something at him to tell him to turn the volume down. And then they didn't have any volume at all. And then you just had a lot of bad calls.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the mullet stole. They should have picked that flag up,
mm-hmm.
because it was a continuation. And the initial block, they got that call right. But Adrian's fumble, let's see if we can find Frost talking about it today. The fumble, that, I mean, that changed the game. That put them back up by 14. Am I correct on that?
I think so.
Yeah. It you know, that, because that was, that put them back up by 14 early part of the third quarter. And that was just awful. That was awful. And it was, I mean, I've seen the tuck rule.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't, you tell me, Colton. I mean, I don't think he got it stripped, do you?
Well,
I know that there was contact hand to ball.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was the thing. So I was listening to the radio for that one, and I happened to see the second one,
mm-hmm.
That they almost – and everyone was kind of saying, well, if you call it that way the
like
first time.
Like where Doman scooped up.
Yeah. Which
Illinois
was a smart
player.
Play because they actually did call it a fumble on the field. But that one was a little clearer. So I didn't see the first one, but based off of what I've heard and what I have, the minimal that I've seen, yeah, it was just like – it's kind of one of those, you'd think after reviewing, it's you'd be able to figure that out.
Fine, it might be a fumble, but no one recovered it.
Right.
Coach Frost was asked about it again today.
No, all I know is what I heard on the field, that they thought the ball was moving in his hand before he threw it. I don't know how much good explanations after the fact do for us anyway. You know, I've gone in search of those a few times, and they might make you feel a little better, but it isn't going to change anything. I can understand watching in slow motion why they thought the ball might have slightly been moving before he threw it. You don't see fumbles go 20 yards downfield very often. They also called it clear and immediate recovery, which I'm not completely sure I agree with. Our players all stopped, and the ball bounced in the vicinity of a bunch of them, and none of our guys reacted to it. I'm not a rules expert, so I don't know for sure, but I'm not completely sure about that one.
It's a kind way of saying you screwed the pooch on that one.
Yeah, and the thing too, like I said, having listened to it rather than see it, the fact that no one picked it up, there wasn't a the whistle was blown, there was no like clear act to pick up and recover a fumble, usually indicates that
nobody on the field with a helmet thought it was a fumble.
Exactly. And that's where the issue arises.
We'll wind out on Monday. Good stuff from JoJo Doman. Charlie McBride, Jeremiah Searle, Hail Varsity continues.
Miss us?
Come here, brother. Give me a hug. Bring it in for the real thing.
We're on call for you. Catch the podcast at HailVarsity.com, the ESPN Lincoln app, or download them on iTunes.
Saddle up, partner.
Back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Let's hear from Scott Frost real quick, cut 17. And this is about the recruiting weekend, but also kind of a challenge issued to the Nebraska fans, like you need it. I think you and 1.7 million of your closest pals are going to be right outside the Coliseum, east side of the stadium, Saturday morning.
I think it's great timing with all the official visitors we have coming in. They're going to get to see a show, get to see what Memorial Stadium in Lincoln looks like on a big game day. I think it's good timing. I know the fans are going to turn out. Fans are here, always great. They're the best in the country. We need them to be at their very best this Saturday and at game day. I expect, you know, as many years as it's been since game day's been here, I wouldn't be surprised to see us set some kind of record for attendance at game day, and that's just what you expect out of Nebraska fans.
Yep, he loves you. He appreciates you. He thanks you, and he wants to give it to you. I just don't know what's going to happen Saturday. I think I know what's going to happen already on Monday. But a lot can change. Mm-hmm. You've got a bunch of guys that are confident because of how they did against Ohio State. But do you have enough guys that are going to be focused? Like, mm-hmm. just the progression of this team. Saturday night was like four steps back. The only thing they didn't do was lose. And they should get some credit for finding a way to win. But can you automatically just flush that and all of a sudden snap and become a team that will be detail oriented? I don't know. But the shiny little glimmer of hope is Mike Riley's win against Sparty. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, if that, and that was a talented team that really underachieved.
Yeah, there's a lot of things for this first 4 weeks that I think we've learned, I think the coaches have learned, and I think that they have a lot of things to take away as far as negatives and positives. Mm-hmm. I mean, again, you look at the final stats offensively against Illinois.
You should put a 70 spot
nuts,
on them.
Right? Yeah. And obviously 21 of those points for Illinois coming off of four fumbles. So, like we said earlier, that changes a little bit. But, you know, like you said, credit that they found a way to win, and they didn't in Boulder. They did in Champaign.
The point is they showed up and they were a nightmare.
Yeah,
they were a nightmare of penalties and turnovers.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the thing. Is the two biggest things you say if you take those out of the game, it looks a lot better.
How can you even like show up and play that way? It's sports. I get it. Buckle up. A reminder from the Nebraska Department of Highway Safety Office: seatbelts prevent excessive injury. When your body and vehicle need to slow down, whether you're in the driver's seat, passenger seat, or back seat. Okay, callers 1 through 5 right now, you qualify. We're going to register you and qualify you for Nebraska, Ohio State ticket, scholars 1 through 5. Be at the graduate on Friday. Come see us 4 to 6. Longest drive competition at 5. So callers 1 through 5 right now, qualify for Nebraska, Ohio State tickets, and get in the running for the longest drive competition at 5 on Friday at the graduate, 9th and P. Going to be off the hook. Excited about it. 1 through 5 right now. Colton, cheer up. Callers 1 through 5 right now.
I'm just sad that the Redskins are probably going to lose tonight.
Oh, they're going to get destroyed.
Yeah.
But guess what? There's always next week, and you can draft and tank. Callers 1 through 5, we'll talk tomorrow at 4. Thanks.